As we mentioned, these are some of the first words Paul writes in his letter to his Christian friends in Corinth. And these words sound nice. They sound uplifting and encouraging. Paul writes about always thanking God. He writes about grace and about not lacking in spiritual gifts. He writes about how faithful God is. These are encouraging words to hear. But we know that as we read through this letter, Paul writes about some things that are actually pretty harsh sounding. Paul doesn't have a lot of encouraging words to say to the Christians in Corinth. He condemns and chastises them for a variety of behaviors, behaviors including factions and divisions that have developed in the church. He writes that he's disappointed in the moral standards that they are not living up to as Christians. He writes to them about their practice of communion, which is anything but worshipful. He even talks about their spiritual gifts or the lack of use of their spiritual gifts. In this letter, Paul writes about some very difficult, concerning issues that have developed in the church in Corinth. But he doesn't talk about those here at the beginning. He begins by addressing what his basic approach to life is all about. He is essentially saying to the Christians in Corinth, there are some things we need to talk about, there are some things you need to work on, and I'm going to get to those things, but at the beginning of this letter, I want to tell you how I live my life. In other words, I want to tell you my philosophy of life or my approach to living. I think this morning that if we read these early words of Paul in this first letter to the Christians in Corinth, if we had to summarize everything that he says in one sentence, here's how I would say it. Paul is saying, life is a gift from God to be enjoyed and appreciated. So live your life in complete gratitude to God. That's what I think Paul is saying. Let me say it again. Life is a gift from God to be enjoyed and appreciated. So live your life in complete gratitude to God. Now that's what Paul wants to say to his Christian friends in Corinth. That's what he talks about here in this passage. He says, the grace of God which was given to me in Christ Jesus is what makes me have the opportunity to always give thanks. You know, each year we come to this late week in the month of November, and we intentionally pause to reflect upon God's many blessings in our lives. We kind of stop the normal routine. We take time off from work. We get with family. Maybe we travel. But we do all of these things in a way to express our thankfulness and our gratitude to God. As a nation, we have been setting aside a day, maybe even a week, where we pause to intentionally give thanks to God. We've been doing this as a nation for a number of years. And while this is good and important to do, Paul is saying something a little bit different. He is saying this life of gratitude is to be our basic approach to life every day. Not just one day out of the year, not just this week that happens at the end of November, not just as we gather around the Thanksgiving table, but instead, Paul is saying the life of gratitude is to be lived every day for the Christian. Now, when we read this as a summary of Paul's words here, we might find ourselves thinking, well, how? How are we to live a life of gratitude every day? Well, think with me a little bit this morning about the person of Paul. I read an interesting comment about Paul's life this week. Donald Charles Lacey says this about Paul. He says, let me tell you about an interesting man. He was a Jew of great and profound learning. Tradition says that he was below average height and he was nearly bald. Many predicted that he would become the leader of his people against the hated Romans. Because he was a Roman citizen, this would have been a shrewd political stratagem. But he could not believe in the significance of a certain religious sect. Therefore, outright persecution and persistent intolerance were his ways in which he related to the Christians. His heart, his mind, and his soul, with magnificent dedication, fought against them because he thought that was right. Many of his contemporaries visualize a special place in history for Paul until it happened. He became sidetracked. Another Jew's spirit caught hold of him. Many said it was a shame that he had become part of a minority group, a group that really stood no chance against the Jewish religious elite or the Roman government of his day. But what amazed his former religious and political colleagues was that most often how Paul gave thanks constantly for the people and things about him. Now, everything he wrote had to have an expression of gratitude in it. He was often in prison. His life was constantly in danger. Sometimes he never knew if his next breath would be his last breath, but he always gave gratitude. Someplace in every letter he wrote in the New Testament, you will find Paul expressing gratitude. He was a man who literally lived a thankful mood. His attitude of gratitude produced a certain uplifting spiritual fragrance. Always I thank my God. That was Paul, a man who lived his life filled with gratitude. Well, on a more personal note, let me tell you about a man that I met several years ago, a man who also lived his life filled with gratitude. John Claypool was a pastoral theologian. He died in 2005. But a couple of years before he died, I had the opportunity with a small group of other pastors, there were about 20 of us, to meet here in Atlanta and to spend the afternoon with John Claypool. He was a remarkable minister, an incredible human being. He came to our group that day to talk with us about life and about ministry. But he spent most of his time talking about gratitude. He shared with us his personal story that back in the 1960s, when he served as pastor of Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, Claypool's then 8-year-old daughter, Laura Lou, was diagnosed with acute leukemia. And she died 2 years later at the age of 10. He shared with us the intensity of his pain and his agony in her death. It was a loss so great that John Claypool and his wife later separated and divorced because they dealt with this loss so differently. But Dr. Claypool also shared with us that day what he learned about gratitude. And I'll never forget that as we sat in that room, sitting around a conference table, John Claypool looked at each one of us around the room, and here's what he said. He said, "I don't know much, but I do know this. Life is a gift. Whether it lasts 10 days or 10 years or 100 years, life is a gift from God. And the only appropriate response to a gift," he said, "is gratitude." In a sermon that he wrote a little while after Laura Lou's death, John Claypool told the story of something that happened to him when he was a child. These are his words. "When World War II started, my family did not have a washing machine. With gas rationed and the laundry service several miles away, keeping our clothes clean became an intensely practical problem. Well, one of my father's younger business associates was drafted into the war, and his wife prepared to go with him, so we offered to let them store their furniture in our basement. Quite unexpectedly," he said, "they suggested that we use their washing machine while they were gone. They said it would be better for it to be running than sitting up and rusting. So that's what we did, and it helped us a great deal. Claypool continues saying, since I used to help with the washing, across the years, I developed quite an affectionate relationship with that old green Bendix. But eventually, the war ended. Our friends returned. But in the meantime, I had forgotten how the machine came to be in our basement in the first place. So when they came and took it, I was terribly upset, and I said so quite openly. But my mother, being the wise woman that she is, sat me down and put things in perspective for me. She said, John, wait a minute. You must remember, that machine never belonged to us in the first place. That we ever got to use it at all was a gift. So instead of being mad because it is taken away from us, let us use this occasion, she said, to be grateful that we ever had it at all. And Claypool then said, my daughter, Laura Lou, she was a gift. Pure and simple, something I neither earned nor deserved nor had any right to. And when I remember that the appropriate response to a gift, even when it is taken away, is gratitude, then I am able to thank God that I was ever given that gift in the first place. You know, maybe we miss the whole point of life when we forget to live with gratitude. Maybe when the problems of life and the difficulties of life and the obstacles of life become our focus, maybe that's when life becomes depressing and meaningless because we're focused on all the wrong things. Paul Miller describes the disconnect between the life we often live and the life that is filled with gratitude. Here's what Paul Miller says. He says, it's funny how tiring it is to serve God for an hour, but how quickly a team plays basketball, football, or soccer for 60 minutes. It's funny how long a couple of hours spent at church are, but how short it is watching a movie. It's funny how we can't think of anything to say when we pray, but how easy it is to chat with a friend. It's funny, he says, how we get excited when a sports game goes into extra innings or overtime, but we complain when a sermon is a little longer than usual. That's Paul Miller, not me, right? It's funny how we want a front seat at a game or a concert, but we scramble for the back row of a church, he says. It's funny how it takes a 2 or 3 week notice to get a church event on our calendar, but we can adjust at the last minute for other events in our lives. It's funny, he says, how big $100 looks when you take it to church, but how small it looks at the mall. It's funny how life often gets out of perspective. And I wonder how much do we miss when our focus shifts from gratitude to more self-centered kinds of things. In the early years of the 20th century, Canadian scientist Dr. Hans Seeley pioneered studies concerning the effects that emotions have on human health. During his lifetime, Dr. Seeley wrote 30 books on the subject of what he termed the stress syndrome. Seeley saw how mental stress generates extra adrenaline in the body, which speeds up respiration and heart rates. Tensions in muscles lead to headaches, he said, and backaches, and anxiety and depression trigger pain or increase pain that is already present in our lives. Well, toward the end of his career, Dr. Seeley named two primary things that he says are the culprits that are most likely to produce the most stress in human beings. Here are the two things he found. Number one, vengeance. Number two, bitterness. The two things he said that are more likely to cause stress in our lives are vengeance and bitterness. But there's a cure, he says. I've discovered the two things that are most likely to cause stress, but I've also discovered, he said, that there is a cure. The cure for vengeance and bitterness. The one response, he says, that is most beneficial to human health is gratitude. Gratitude heals. But gratitude doesn't just happen, he said. Gratitude is a choice. And for each one of us, gratitude is something we have the opportunity to choose every day of our lives. Dr. John Killinger, who was a former seminary professor, describes the life of gratitude in this way. He says that there are really two different ways of looking at life. He said we can look, number one, at life as a merry-go-round, or number two, he says, we can look at life as a journey. And many people, he says, look at life as a merry-go-round. It's pretty. There are a lot of colors. There are fantasy-like boats and swans and seashells and other things for us to ride in. There are brass rings that we can grasp and pull for prizes. But the life lived as a merry-go-round really doesn't go anywhere. It just moves around and around on the same path. The Christian view of life, he says, has always been more closely regarded to a journey. It's the way John Bunyan described in his great book, Pilgrim's Progress. Life is a journey. There are mountains to climb. There are rivers to cross. There are sloughs of despair for us to make our way through. But at the end of this journey stands the Creator of everything, waiting to receive us with loving, outstretched arms. You know, I think Paul would say to us today, if we are thankful only or primarily for the abundant gifts in our lives, if we are thankful primarily for food and shelter and clothing and cars and TVs and telephones and on and on and on, then maybe, just maybe, we are looking at life like a merry-go-round. We're happy as long as the music keeps playing and the ride keeps going and there are brass rings to grasp and fun to be experienced. But when the music stops, life changes. But Paul would say, it is when we are thankful primarily for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the grace of God that is given to us every single day of life, regardless of the circumstances or the situations, when life then becomes a journey in which God is with us every step of the way, a journey reaching out before us in which our relationship to God is the utmost primary important thing in our life, then we have the ability and the opportunity to give thanks even when life takes difficult turns and new dimensions. Then we realize we can give thanks even in the face of death. We can give thanks even when the bank account is empty. We can give thanks when we don't have our job. We can give thanks when there's no food on the table. As the prophet Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I wonder, what would happen if we as Christians decided to reject vengeance and bitterness in all of our relationships and instead embraced gratitude as our daily way of living? What would happen if we truly lived every day with a life of gratitude. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day we are grateful for your word that reminds us of how much you love us and care for us and that you are with us in every circumstance of life. Lord, thank you that in the good times of life you are there. And thank you, Lord, that in the difficult times of life you are there. Lord, this week, through the good and the bad, through the ups and the downs, help us to live each day with gratitude to you for the gift of life that you have given to us. So lead us and guide us in these ways, we pray, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.